Now, verse 17, and he is before all things. Now, he is before all things means that in the pre-incarnate Christ, all fullness dwells. And in the incarnate Christ, all fullness dwells. In him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. We're going to be told that in this epistle. And we're made complete in him. He's before all things. He is the pre-incarnate Christ. Then we're told something else here. And by him all things consist. Now that means he holds everything together. He's Elmer's glue as far as holding this universe together. A few years ago in our day, man did a very daring and I think now a very dastardly deed. He untied the atom. The Lord Jesus, when he created the atom, he tied each one of those little fellows together. And man did what he called split the atom. And believe me, did he release power. Have you ever stopped to think today the tremendous power that there is in the atoms of this universe? If man can take a bomb that probably you and I could lift and blow this universe or blow this earth that we are living on to smithereens. Have you ever stopped to think of the power that's tied up in this vast physical universe? Who's holding this thing together? He not only created it, but he holds it together. And that, my friend, is a pretty good job itself of holding it all together. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that does this. By him all things consist. And you have that, by the way, again, back here in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He holds everything together. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's a wonderful person, isn't he? He's a glorious person. Now notice what is said about him here again. We're told here in verse 18 now, and I'm reading, and he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the head of the body of the church. And that is the key, I think, to the epistle to the Colossians. And I'll tell you why. In the epistle to the Ephesians, which is a companion epistle to Colossians, you have the emphasis upon the fact that the church is the body of Christ down here in the world. And the emphasis is upon the body. Now here, the emphasis is upon the head of the body, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, and that, I believe, is a very important statement for us to note. Because when you go back to the epistle to the Ephesians, you will find out in verse 22 of chapter 1, he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, so that these are companion epistles. And in the epistle to the Philippians, which went along with these prison epistles, why we see the church with feet walking through the world and the experience of the church, the experience of a believer. That is what a believer ought to experience. Now as we move down into this verse here, he is also the firstborn from the dead, and that is, he's the only one that's back in a glorified body from the grave. He's the first fruits of them that sleep. And on the basis of his resurrection, our loved ones, and if the Lord should not come in our lifetime, then we too will be raised someday as he is. The thought that John gives us is, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And then we have this statement, and this is the eighth statement in verse 18 here, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And this is, may I say, a very wonderful statement. Fact of the matter is, You can't think of anything more wonderful than this, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The will of Christ must prevail throughout all of God's creation. That's God's intention. Even in spite of the rebellion of man down here, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God is moving forward today, undeviatingly, unhesitatingly, uncompromisingly, toward one goal, and that is to put Jesus on the throne of this little world on which you and I live that is in rebellion against God today. That is the objective of God in this particular connection. Now, we come here to verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And that's one of the important words that you have in this epistle. Over in Philippians, we saw it was the kenosis. That is, he emptied himself. But he didn't empty himself because he did lay aside his prerogatives of deity and his glory. But he was God when he came to this earth. And in him, all fullness dwelt. All the pleroma dwelt. The fullness of God. So that when he was down here upon this earth, why, what you have is that the pleroma was at home in Jesus. He was 100% God down here. He wasn't 99 and 44 100% God. 100%. And that little baby that was lying yonder 1,900 years ago on the bosom of Mary and seemed so helpless, he could have spoken this universe out of existence. He is man of very man. He is God of very God. That's who he is. That's who we're talking about. He's different here. Now we saw in verse 15 his relationship to the Father. Then we saw his relationship to creation. And then his relationship to the church and his relationship, beginning with verse 20, to the cross